If you are a guest with us, I'd especially like to welcome you. I hope that you find Crossbridge as a welcoming place. I hope that you feel challenged in your faith, wherever that has you this morning. And this morning, it's kind of a sad day for me. We're closing out our Pop God series. This is my favorite series that we do at our church because it's music, it's God. You can't beat that in my eyes because they just seem to go together. And there's been no week that I've been more excited than this week, mostly because this week we're going to be unpacking one of my favorite bands ever. Just ever. These guys, when they start to sing and they start to rap or they start to whatever you want to call what they're doing, it's just the best. And so this morning we're going to unpack a little bit of 21 Pilots. All right, 21 Pilots. Anybody ever heard? Yeah, see, you know, look how nice they are. Who's not going to want to listen to them? Anybody heard of 21 Pilots? Okay, much more than the Avett Brothers last week. Good. The cool thing about 21 Pilots, it's a musical duo. On the left-hand side there is Josh Dunn. He is a drummer. And on the right-hand side is Tyler Joseph. And Tyler Joseph is a man of any instrument, basically. It could be ukulele, piano, guitar, interpretive dance. I mean, take what you want. And these guys have had, I believe, the most impressive 2016 of any band this year. This week, as a matter of fact, they had done something that hasn't been done in decades. They are only the third band to ever hold two number one hits in the top Hot 100 in the same week. The only other two bands, and the two songs were Heathens and Ride, and the only other two bands to pull this off. Can anybody guess? Beatles is one, and then it's not the Stones. That's a good guess. It's actually a solo performer. He's got a hunk of burning love. There you go. All right, Elvis. So they're in good company up there. They actually won Best Rock Album of the Year at multiple venues. And their newest album, Blurry Face, if you have not gotten your hands on this album, you're going to want to. It is amazing. When you listen to these guys, they're lyrically very, very deep. And I'd argue that it's pretty safe to listen to with kids in the car. Both Josh and Tyler come from Christian backgrounds. And they are practicing in their faith. They pursue Jesus. If you listen to their lyrics and you're expecting something like what we sang this morning, you're going to be a little taken aback and you're like, but they don't say Jesus. Let me tell you, it's really okay. They speak such deep spiritual truths and approach some of the most difficult topics. I mean, even this morning as we were singing, God, take our shame and our hurt and all this. There's a phrase in one of their songs that they just constantly keep chanting, we are broken people. And it's funny, Tyler Joseph said, there's nothing like standing on front of a stage, seeing thousands upon thousands of people all together chanting, we are broken people. That's a spiritual truth that we all need to understand. So when you listen to their music, you got to know that they're coming from a spiritual background, a Christian background, although they're not going to blatantly come out and say that in their music. And they kind of speak to things that everyone's wrestling through. So this morning we're going to take a song that it's got over 600 million views on YouTube right now, and it is excellent. So we're going to watch a little Stressed Out this morning. And maybe that's not your type of music. I don't care. I love it. These guys are outstanding, and there's something about this song. That's their families. That's their houses that they're filming in. His brother Zach's the one sitting in the corner with the earbuds on, just kind of jamming. These guys are about as real as they get. And what I love about this song specifically is this band or this album, Blurry Face, has been spinning in our car, Kayla, for how long? Since it came out, we've been listening to it more. We can't listen to it more than it came out, but that's okay. We jam to this. My kids rap to this in our car, and we love it. But it's funny to hear them sing the chorus of this song that just looks at, I wish we could turn back time to the good old days when our mama sang us to sleep, but now we're stressed out. And it's funny as I listen to my 7, 8, and 10-year-olds sing this, and I'm like, when were you stressed out? And what dawned on me is, you know what, I don't think age really matters. I think there comes a point in our life where stress is stress. And whenever you look back, you can look to a season that was less stressful. A season when it wasn't as bad as it is right now. And, you know, if you're here and you're an adult, you know that adulting is hard. Adulting is difficult. And when you're a kid, kids should have a simpler life. They should have a life that's not as stressed out as our lives currently are. They don't have to think about mortgages or rent or grocery shopping. They don't have to think about preparing meals, going to work. I mean, their biggest worry as it hit summer or over the summer was can I go outside and play or is it too hot? Can we go to the pool and eat tonight? What can we do? Can I play video games? I heard that 100 times, and that's what stressed out my kids. Can we watch a movie? My stresses were extremely different. And I don't put those on my kids because it's not appropriate. Because our job as parents, as adults, is to keep our kids' lives as simple as possible because stress will come. Why do we need to put it in there now? And this morning what I'd like to do is I want to look at a simple passage of Scripture and unpack how Jesus handles children in a stress, someone stressed out over there. Okay. And it's probably not the kid. It's whoever's in with them. It's the adult. Adults stress out. But I want to look at this passage and see how Jesus handles his interaction with children. And then I quickly want to look at it from a perspective of how do we handle that as adults. And then right after that, I want to ask the question, how do we handle this as a church? Because it's important. It's very, very important. The passage this morning I'd like to unpack with you is found in Matthew chapter 19. In Matthew chapter 19, it says this. One day, some parents brought their children to Jesus so he could bless them and pray for them. But the disciples scolded the parents for bothering him. But Jesus said, "Let the children come to me. Don't stop them. For the kingdom of heaven belongs to those who are like these children." And he placed his hands on their head and he blessed them before he left. There's a specific phrase that I'd like to look at in this, and it's in that first verse where it just simply says that the parents brought their kids to Jesus. The parents brought their kids to Jesus. You know, I don't know about you, but I see that my kids look up to stuff that I do. My kids follow my lead, and I see the very best and the very worst of how I live modeled through my own children. I say that with my own child sitting here, and when she drives me nuts, usually I'll look at you, Kayla, and I'll say, "You frustrate me because Daddy does the same thing." I get it. I get that my kids pick up my dysfunction. If you have children that hang around you, they pick up your mess. So if you're frustrated all the time, guess what? It's your issue. They pick up what you model. Our kids pick up what we model. And here, I think it's important because when it says that the parents brought them to Jesus, it makes me ask the question as a parent, what in the world am I modeling to my children? What in the world am I doing? Because my kids left alone are not going to all of a sudden wake up and be like, "You know, I think I want to go to church. That's what I want to do today." That's not what they would automatically think unless, as a family, we made this a priority. Now most Sunday mornings, they're banging on our door saying, "It's time for church." And we're like, go back to bed. You know, "Daddy, you're preaching." The reality is we have to model. And we have to do something as parents, as aunts and uncles, as grandparents. If you have a child involved in your life, it's our job, regardless of age, to bring them to Jesus. Now, yes, that's going to mean bringing them to church. But I also think it means modeling something at home. Are we creating an environment at home where we can bring our kids to Jesus? Because as you know, we're only here from 10:30 to 11:30, maybe 11:40. And after that, it's home time, right? Or wherever you're going. I need to bring my kids to Jesus much more than an hour. I need to bring my kids to Jesus like minute by minute. Because I'm toasted sometimes. And I'm like, "God, I need you to handle this a little bit right now because I can't do this parenting thing. This adulting and parenting is killing me. I'm stressed out. I need you to lay your hands on my kids because if I do, it's going to be not good." Right? So there's a tension that I have to manage. And as a parent, I just simply want to ask you to do one or two things in your home. I know this sounds silly. Can you turn your phone off for a couple minutes, please? Please. All I'm asking you to do, And the research is out there. If you want it, I will send it to you. But over and over, article after article after article is telling us that we spend more time staring at this than the eyes of our kids. We spend more time trying to get back to emails that we feel like are essential during dinner. And we use this phrase over and over. I'm sorry, what? I'm sorry, what did you say? I missed that. Hold on. Can you say that again? We do this over and over and over. And all I'm asking, if we want to bring our kids to Jesus, we need to know what they're dealing with. We need to know and understand what's going on. Stop and turn this off just during dinner for right now. Just take it, turn it off, put it on a table and say, you know what? You've got a half hour of time. And I know as I say that, that's probably a little difficult for some of you because all we do is eat in the car. Because we're going to this event, that event, this club, that club. Our pace of schedule leaves us no time to get to Jesus. We're entering into a new school year where we have an opportunity to reset schedules. The question is, will we do it? I know that it's difficult. I've had to sit with my wife and look at our schedule with our kids who are all in events, who are all in clubs. And right now, I'm confessing to you in front of you for accountability's sake. We have one night a week that I know we all five of us are home at the same exact time for dinner. One night, Tuesday night, if you say, let's get together, I'm going to say no because it's my only night that I have. Other than that, someone's here and someone's there, but the rest of us need to sit down to dinner. We need to stare in the eyes of each other and say, how was your day? So that I can listen, so that my kids can learn to ask me questions. Dad, how was your day? I was frustrated at this. Really? Yeah. They're allowed to hear that stuff. They will grow in that stuff. That's creating an environment where I can bring my kids to Jesus and they can see it. But we need to be very aware. Our schedules feel like the disciples. They bother us. We look at the kids and say, stop bothering me. This isn't worth my time when it's worth every bit of time that we have. So this morning, I simply want to challenge you. As adults, look at the schedule that you have. If you are in contact with any kids in any shape or form, especially those of you who are teachers coming into this new school year, you'll be surrounded by children. Don't lose your own kids for everybody else's. Stay focused on your children. Bring them to Jesus. And your school children, bring them too. Be praying for them. Give them undivided attention. They need Jesus just as bad as we do. What are we modeling? But it makes me wonder as a church too, how are we creating an environment for kids? Because I don't know if you've ever been to a church where when you bring kids into church or you've been there and children are there, if they're a little loud, you get this thing. You know that look that's like, I won't say it, but your child is loud and disruptive. You know, when you walk into a children's ministry area and you drop your kids off and you're thinking, oh, God, I hope they're safe. I'm relying on you right now because they didn't even say hi to me. Like, is my kid going to be left crying forever? Or, you know, what's going to happen? There's a nervousness about it. You walk into a place and there's no joy and you're like, I'm not leaving my kids here. I've been to these churches. I've been to the churches where there's special needs families, and some of those children are in church, and they make their noises, and they praise God their way, and everyone looks and goes, oh my gosh, get the kid out of here. I've been to that church. And I'm telling you, as the pastor of this church, this is a conversation that Becky and I have. We have this on a weekly basis, and I want to invite Becky to come up with me. And you know, there's been a lot going on in our children's ministry, and this is one of those areas that we're constantly talking about. We're looking at and wondering and thinking all the time. Every staff meeting, we talk about our kids' ministry because it's so important with the amount of kids we have in our church in this area. And this morning, what I would like to do is to invite you into that conversation. Becky and I are going to continue to have the same conversation we have every single week. And there's some pointed things that we want to talk about, but there are some things happening in our kids' ministry. And what I want to know, or what I want you to know, is that what we're attempting to do here as a church for our kids, your kids, is create a space where they are not stressed out and we can bring them to Jesus. It's not a bother. It's not a worry. This is a joy so that you can sit here and be like, That's what we want to do. So I'm going to invite you into that conversation. And, you know, if you have questions afterwards, let us know. How you doing?
I'm okay.
Are you stressed out?
Yes.
Adulting is hard, isn't it?
Especially the week before school starts. It just feels like there's so much that needs to get done before they go to school on Tuesday.
Are you ready?
I think so.
Are the lunches packed yet?
No.
Okay. That's good. Your kids are now how old? What are they going into?
They are going into 5th, 3rd, 1st, and then Daniel turns 3 this month.
Okay, so 1 at home, 3 in school.
Yes.
So you're stressed out.
Just a little bit.
Yeah. We've been talking a lot about the children's ministry here, rethinking things, redoing things. And, you know, for us it's been since May that we've really been going after this. So we're over at the Orange Conference in Atlanta together. A lot of things are floating. A lot of things are happening. And I ask you, I said, Becky, I want you to dream about the future of the kids' ministry, not just where it is now. And so you start to come up with all new things. I mean, new names, new logos, new everything. Talk to me a little bit about that.
Well, for me, it's been a process. I think the past year I've been praying through just, God, I want to make sure that the kids' ministry is what you want it to be and not just what I've concocted out of my own brain. And so getting to go to the Orange Conference with you was great because it helped give me some framework to think through the ideas that had been swirling kind of through my brain. And I thought, you know, I've inherited a lot, you know, over the years and kept it going. But some of it just didn't seem to fit with where I thought God was taking us.
Sure.
And so one of the things we've done is come up with a new name. It's just going to be CB Kids. It's nice. It's simple. It brings us in line with CB Youth. And I think if a parent sees it on Sunday morning, they'll realize, hey, that's where I dropped my kids off.
Easy. That's I like that you were thinking of not just people in our church, because I think we've all learned how to navigate the maze of the high school. But for anybody who's new, it's intimidating. You're like, what am I supposed to do? And so to see just kids up there, you're like, that's easy. I love that.
Yeah, so we do that. And then with that, I thought, well, we need some sort of logo to replace the one that we never used. And so...
Yeah, it's true.
We did. We had one, but I don't think you ever saw it. So, and I thought, you know, well, what is it that I really want them to know? And God kept bringing back to me over and over again the idea of roots, of a tree that's growing, and making sure that our kids had deep roots in Jesus. And so our new title is CB Kids, but our tagline is where kids are rooted in the love and knowledge of Jesus. Because those two things are really important to me, making sure that kids know that Jesus loves them no matter what. It doesn't matter, you know, the days we do stuff wrong and mommy and daddy are freaked out on us. But, you know, no matter what, and even we sang this morning, no matter where I go, God is always with us and he loves us. But not only that, the knowledge part was important for me too, because I don't think you can worship someone you don't really understand. So like a good biblical base for our kids is what I'm striving for. You know, memorizing scripture, but for a point. And knowing, most importantly, not just to be able to regurgitate facts, because my fifth grader is great at that. He can tell you, oh yeah, this person. And I'm like, but how does that apply to this situation? And he'll look at me and go like, I don't know. He can tell me what it is, but he doesn't know how to apply it. So I don't want kids to know just knowledge. I want them to know, how does what we teach them on a Sunday in church apply to their Monday when they're going to school? Because if it doesn't help them with anything they're dealing with during the week, then it's a waste of time.
Yeah, I love that, because we've been doing that on a adult level, whether you recognize it or not. We've been trying to make it as practical as could be, trying to keep it simple. And, I mean, you could try to go into deep theological, you know, discussions with kids, but that's not where they are. So to expect that would be ridiculous, and to keep it as simple as could be, but having something to do with Monday, that makes – I like that. Because then as a parent, it gives me something to talk about at the dinner table or in the car.
And you know those kids. Papers that you all probably just recycle when you get home that come to you with your children? On there is a cue. The older kids, it's called parent cue. And there's a question or maybe two that you can ask your kid that week about what they just learned to help the conversation keep going. And it's for everyone from our little 18-month-olds up to our fifth graders. Have things that they learn each week and that you can ask them about. And we try to help you, give you like a little, you know, get the ball rolling.
Yeah, so you're changing up kind of how you approach the teaching aspect. What kind of things? So we're in a new season now. We're hitting September. You want kids to be deeply rooted in the love and the knowledge of Jesus. What does that mean practically? Like right now it's September. What in the world are they learning over there today and or for this month? I mean,
well, today has actually been a little crazy because we have switched curriculum for our first through fifth graders. And for most of you, it doesn't matter what we call it. But we switched over to a curriculum that mirrors what our preschool kindergarten have been doing. So it's the same group and the same focus on having home and family work together, or home and church work together. And this month, they're actually learning all about love. The greatest commandment is love the Lord your God with all your mind, soul, strength. That may be out of order. And then the second is love your neighbor as yourself. And so that's going to be our focus this month, is just teaching them about God's love for them and then how not only do they receive it, but then how do they show it to the people in their lives. Because they're going to get to school and they're going to have that kid who they were like, oh, he's in my class again, but he annoyed me so much. I already have my oldest praying that this one little boy is not in his class.
Makes you pray harder, for sure.
How do you love that kid if he ends up in your class? So we want them to start thinking through that. And I loved that our first month of our new curriculum mirrored what we here as a church have been learning about with our new vision, loving God, loving people, serving the world. So this month we're going to be doing first through fifth grade is going to focus on love.
Well, and it seems to me that that's a very easy thing to communicate with my kids and talk to them about. I mean, you're not asking me to talk about transubstantiation or justification or sanctification. You're asking me to talk about love with my kids.
Yes, and we always try to make sure we break it down because they don't understand what those words are either. So often we will talk about complex topics, but we bring it down to their level and, you know, we try to have it something that you can discuss with them. Maybe we'll say, you know, go home and pray, you know, with your mom and dad about a situation that you're having trouble with. Now, as a parent, if you're like, oh my gosh, I don't know how to pray right, there's no right way to pray. It's, you know, we tell the kids praying is talking and listening to God. And that's all it is. Just like you talk and listen to mommy, you talk and listen to God. Fold your hands, close your eyes if it helps you from hitting your brother or sister next to you, you know, or keeping focused. But, you know, so we don't want to give you anything that you don't feel uncomfortable with, but we try to make sure that it's rooted in the Bible. There is a verse. They will be learning the memory verse this month because I think if you hide God's word in your heart, it's there later when you need it and are going through something.
Well, Psalm 119 talks about that all the time.
So we want to make sure that the kids are, and that's part of building the deep roots, I think, is knowing some of that.
Part of building deep roots, we've talked a lot about this, is, you know, the best gardens are going to be done by one gardener. You know, there's not going to be 18 gardeners on one garden to make it excellent. So we've tried to think of that on a children's ministry level, on a CB Kids level. How does that work itself out with volunteers, and how does that refocus knowing that, you know?
Well, we've been rethinking our volunteers and just how do we do that a little bit, because it has been, we've had maybe four different teachers and people have moved around, and it hasn't been as consistent as we would like. And knowing that relationships for kids are extremely important, we can't have just them have a rotating list of teachers.
Yeah.
And so the past couple of weeks, we've gone to all of our volunteers and asked them and said, we know it's hard, but we want you to consider serving twice a month so that you can see the kids and be able to follow up with them and just know what's going on in their life. If you see a kid once a month, you don't really know what's happening. And I love that we've had some volunteers who have done that for us already.
Can you think of an example? I mean, that sounds great, but practically, how have you seen that benefit already?
I know from in our fourth and fifth grade, Christy Sinnett has been awesome. She has served twice a month, basically every month since they started coming to the church, which I love. And so she has just created a relationship with my oldest, PJ, where, and he is turning 11 next week, and I don't know, preteen age is not fun so far. And so we're already hitting some of the attitude, and I love that she's able to come in, and some of the same things that I say to him, I can hear her saying on a Sunday morning, "Hey, PJ, have you thought about..." And he'll say, "Oh, no." And I'm thinking, "I just talked to you about that.
I said that 5 minutes ago."
You know, and he doesn't hear it coming from me at all, but Miss Christie said... You know, and she'll come in and be like, "Hey, I found a big Nate book at, you know, Goodwill here." And it's like gold to him. Like, he loves getting to see her on a Sunday. And even if I get the, "I don't want to go to church. Why do I, you know?" "Well, Miss Christie's your teacher." "Oh, okay." You know, and that makes it so much easier for me if my kids want to be with the people who are here.
Yeah, I found it too. Last month we had the opportunity to go away with the family from our church. And while we were away, I found it hysterical. We went to go play laser tag as two full families. And my son decided when he saw, it was actually Christian, he saw Christian wearing an American or a Captain America t-shirt. And he went rummaging through his shirts to make sure he could put on a Captain America t-shirt. And I said, "Jimmy, why are you wearing that?" And he goes, "Because Mr. Christian is." And I was like, "What?" He says, "Mr. Christian's wearing it, so I want to wear it too." And I sat back as a dad, and I thought that same exact thing. Like, I'm so thankful for another adult's presence in my kids' lives that I trust. Like, I know that I can trust. You know, Christian, I do trust you immensely. And I loved that because my kid was looking up to someone else outside of me that he'll listen to, because he won't listen to me. And so I thought that was excellent. So to be able to do that on an ongoing basis, I think the value of working multiple weeks with the kids is great. My concern is, okay, so we've got people volunteering over there twice a month. I want people in church. I want to see them here smiling and not, like, stressing out. And I know many people enjoy it. Like, they love what they do. How are we going to care for them?
But it is a commitment, because I know there is soccer and baseball, and there's trips to the family out of town and things. And the last thing I want is for my volunteers to suddenly be once a month in big church, because that's not good for them. And so we've been talking over the past couple months, and we are going to have a volunteer service. So we're asking our volunteers to come in a little bit earlier in the morning, and at 9 a.m. we're going to do some... you know, a service for them and their families who are coming, so that they can start their day off with church and they're not constantly missing it.
So 9 a.m., if you're serving in the children's ministry, CB Kids,
yes,
at 9 a.m. over there, we're going to be doing a service.
Yes.
When are we starting this?
We are starting that hopefully in October, as soon as I can find volunteers who are willing to serve from 9 to 10 o'clock and watch our volunteers' kids. Because I don't know if you've ever come in early, but if you get here at 9:30, there's already like 20 kids who are running around, because they're all the volunteers' kids who had to come with them to help set up. So it's not going to work to have all those kids running around as we're trying to have service. So I am looking for volunteers who are willing to give me an hour twice a month so that they get to know the kids. And then they can serve, and then you can come to what I call big church. You can come to big church and be here with everyone else. But it allows our volunteers to be getting fed into and cared for as well.
So maybe if someone feels like, I don't know that I want to commit to being regular at the 10:30 hour. I value this time and the community and all that. There's a place for them to serve in the kids' ministry, in CB Kids, that they could still be here and there, and it benefits the parents of those kids.
Absolutely. And we'll have a separate room, and you don't have to teach them anything if you're like, "Oh, my gosh, I don't want to do that." we'll have, and it'll probably be second grade and under, because third through fifth could sit in service with their parents. And we'll have videos and things, what's in the Bible, VeggieTales, things like that, or games that you can play with them. So it shouldn't be a hard hour, but it'll be greatly beneficial to those who are serving twice a month with your kids.
Yeah, and Becky has asked me that the same exact message that we give on a Sunday morning here, that from up front, is the same exact message in there. So this way, for those who do serve, it's not waiting for it to get uploaded, because even in our small groups, we're talking a little more about how to, you know, just relating Sunday's sermon to Monday. And so if there's a small group that meets on Sunday night, rather than having the pressure to compress and, you know, reformat and get a new message out there, it's already, they've already got it. They don't have to wait.
Yep, we are going to do canned music, just because it would be a little much to try to have the band be set up before that. But
sure,
it should be, you know, pretty much the same thing, which I know I love because I'm often back there, and so it'll be nice to get church as well.
That's awesome. Tell me a little bit now. I mentioned special needs from up front here, and for those of you who are regular at CrossBridge, you know that we have a handful of children with special needs who can be quite vocal in service, and some of you have come to us and been like, we need to do something about that. I'm like, no, we're not going to, because we love that they're here and they're going to sing and dance and do their thing because we want them here. Our special needs portion of our kids' ministry is important.
It is absolutely important. Janine Robbins is our special needs coordinator, and she couldn't be here this morning. But for the past year, we've been praying through, how do we make sure that our kids program is inclusive to every family who's in the area? Because as hard as it is for us, I think, to walk in someplace new and check it out, most special needs families just don't go to church because it's too awkward. You don't know if you're going to get that look, or if there's going to be a place, or if your kid's just not even going to understand what's happening. So we've been working to try to figure out, how do we meet the needs of our special needs kids who are already here, but we want more of them to come.
That's something I feel like we're growing in and trying to learn, because it's not, and every family's unique and different. So to say we're just going to do this for everybody isn't realistic. It takes a lot of time.
Absolutely. And one thing that we have been, it's been a slow rollout over the past couple of months, is we're creating buddies, so that we have special needs buddies who can be with the same kids.
I love that.
Like twice a month. And so they'll get to know, okay, this is what I do when, you know, so-and-so sits on the floor and goes, I'm not moving. Or, you know, some of the kids, you know, it's just, they can't get, if it's a large group presentation, it's too hard for them to track. So their buddy can sit there and one-on-one make sure that they're following the lesson and that they know what's happening, so that they don't feel like they're lost.
So when it comes to our children with special needs, we're talking about a very wide range, some with disabilities that would be very unique needs that we wouldn't even really recognize unless a parent helped us, and some that are very, very extreme that need a one-to-one.
Yeah, sometimes you know when a kid walks in through the door, like, okay, they're going to need assistance. Janine's daughter, Emily, is one of them. She has autism. And you know, if you meet Emily, that she needs some special assistance. But she's awesome. She actually is going to be helping us in worship at least once a month over there in the kids' area, because she loves music. And she just gets so excited. So we're going to have her try to learn some of the songs and help out. Other kids know, unless you as a parent come to us and say, my kid's not getting it, or they need extra help. And we have on our website, which is actually getting redesigned at the moment, there is a link for a questionnaire that if your kid has some special needs, food allergies, or just they need some special one-on-one in a class, or something greater, you can fill it out, and it'll come to myself and Janine, and we can make sure that your kid gets what they need. Because I never want a family to leave because they think, my kid's not getting it, they don't like it, they're not accepted. So.
Yeah, and I will say, for us as in big church, that's going to take a bit of grace on our side. That's a bit of grace. So if you find that you're overly distracted by, you know, the people that are around you, I you know, as much as we really want to treasure you and help you to grow here, just know that that mess and that difficulty is part of who we are as a church. And it's one of those things that kind of sets us apart, I'd like to believe, is doesn't matter where you are or where you're coming from, there's a seat here for you. And it'll be distracting. So
And I just love that the kids learn compassion and grace for these other kids. I mean, I remember looking at VBS and Emily's trying to go up the ladder and she can't do it. And several of our kids were in there trying to help her get up there because they've known Emily for like 5 years now.
So. Yeah, I love that. Now, you said Emily's going to be trying to help learn some songs, and I know we're limited on time, but talk to me a little bit about some of our older kids. This is great for our younger kids, but now we've got our third, fourth, and fifth graders who, like, this is a limbo time. What are we doing?
Oh, our third, fourth, and fifth graders like to think they're too cool for anything that we do, which is okay, and maybe they are, but we're trying to change that. In fact, Kayla asked me this morning, Miss Becky, when does 3, 4, 5 basic start? When is our special class? And I kind of said, well, we're not doing the special class anymore. Mm-hmm. Because it just, I love the idea I had behind it, but it didn't seem to work out the way that I thought it was going to. So I really want to focus on relationships with them, because they're going to be coming into a time of their life where they are going to need people to speak truth into their life more than anything. Mm-hmm. And so we are going to be starting a third, fourth, and fifth junior youth group night. Once a month, it's going to be, we're still figuring out the exact date, probably the first Friday or second Friday of the month.
Okay.
Like, we're just trying to pick the exact date. We're going to start in October, so a date will be picked this week. And it'll probably be 6 to 8 p.m., and it's going to be worship for them, some fun games, a small message related to what they're learning for the month on a Sunday, but just something to help them bridge the gap. And I think it also helps for when they get to youth group, it's something that they've had a little bit of exposure and experience to.
Youth group could be scary.
It can be for parents, too. I'm kind of like, oh, my gosh, my oldest is almost in youth group. And it's like, I'm going to have to let him go. So, like, this is a baby step for me, too, as a parent, to kind of get used to getting them in there. But our third, fourth, and fifth grade teachers have volunteered to do this once a month to continue to build into the kids and the relationships.
And now for those older kids, they're getting a bigger sense of youth group. They're getting a bigger sense of church because they're in here during our worship time right now. One of the values of our church is everybody serves. So you're a part of Crossbridge. You're serving somewhere because it takes all of us to do this. Is there a place for them that they could serve?
There is absolutely a place for them to serve. We have, if they love music, they can serve in our second grade and under worship time. Where I know we have some kids who learn the music and they come in ready to go, and they often know those songs better than I do, which is awesome. We also have kids who can be greeters at our door and just help other kids who maybe are a little nervous, feel more welcome. And then the setup team, actually, we have fifth graders and under, third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade, coming with their parents on a Sunday morning, and they can do curtains and benches, and there's a lot that they can do and do, often better than I can.
Yeah, so. My second and third grader come with me every week, and, the weeks that I'm here, and I get to do setup. They're, Ruby's the first one. Like, Daddy, I'll get the curtains ready. Okay.
And, so I love that our kids are learning that they can serve. They aren't the church of the future. They are the church of today.
Yeah. Well, Becky, I know I tell you this often in our own times together, but I feel like I need to say it in front of the church, but I am so thankful for you at Crossbridge. I am so thankful that there is someone who cares about our kids, that, I feel like if you were in Matthew 19, you'd be bowling through those disciples and being like, you just need to back up because these kids need to get to Jesus. And, I see that in you. I see such a passion, not just to have a good program. Like, that's great. And our program, I think, is kick butt. But what I love is that you just want our kids to know Jesus. And you do everything to make that happen. And I am so thankful for you on our team. So, thank you.
Thank you. I'm just very privileged to be here. So.
Yeah.